And that's a political argument. That has to be a political argument. Because, of course, 1916 had no mandate, and how could it? So it's a much more ambiguous argument. Where is that coming from? Well, there's a shift in the historiography, there's no doubt about it, you know, and Williams is moving in this direction in the 1960s. But a lot of roads lead back to the kind of arguments that Conor Cruz O'Brien is developing in the 1970s, particularly as a spokesman on Northern Ireland for the Labour Party and then later as a government minister. He is invoking this rhetoric of the democratic revolution. And that's out there. That's a political argument by a government minister. It's not a historical interpretation. But in the next decade, we begin to see this seeping back into historical writing by professional academic historians. So you have historians talking about Michael Collins, leader of the Treatyites, his democratic credentials. We're seeing the term democracy attributed exclusively to the Treatyites. And these are not historical rationalizations.
Mm-hmm. Just before we leave that, though, and just for the sake of balance, I mean, there is an argument that the anti-Treatyites did lose an election, and then they proceeded to go against the results of the election. So there is some validity to this argument.
Yes, there is some validity to this argument, and what's critical is how the election is interpreted. Is the election an endorsement of the Treatyite position and a rejection of the Republican position? And the answer has to be really just matters are more complex than that. Many people that voted for a pact, the pact general election on the 16th of June 1922, is the origin moment of the democratic state, supposedly. But the pact is not easy to interpret.
It'd be fair to say the problem with the idea that the June 1922 election is pro-treaty versus anti-treaty is that, again, it's so much more complicated than that.
Yeah, a third of the votes were registered for non-Sinn Féin candidates. There was a pact between the Sinn Féin candidates who formed a panel. By and large, that pact was honoured. And the intention of the pact was to create a coalition government after the election between anti-treatyites and pro-treatyites and forestall the drift towards civil war with a reunited Sinn Féin cabinet. Now, whether the British would have allowed that is open to question, or whether it would have been possible is open to question. But from the election data that we have, the academic research on it, the indicators are that people voted for the pact, but a significant number of people, a third of the electorate, voted against Sinn Féin. And Sinn Féin had, to some extent, tried to frustrate a free choice in the election by imposing this pact, which anticipated a Sinn Féin government on the electorate. And the electorate rejected that. So it's complex, that's the point. Nothing breaks down in history to black and white. You know, good guys and bad guys, or Democrats and dictators. As soon as you hear that kind of polemic language, you know you're tuning into something that isn't what the historian will recognise as historical. It's polemical, and it's likely propagandist.
So this is an argument to get people agreeing with one side or the other?
It's a simplified argument, really designed for mass consumption. People like certainties, and people would, very often the public would like a past which was absent of ambiguity and perhaps not too complex, easy to understand. But like life, like our personal relationships, the past is a very, very complicated place, and it is extraordinarily unsatisfactory to simplify it into polemics, into black and whites, into yes and no's. It just doesn't conform to that if we try and tell stories from the past in a truthful kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tension between public history and academic history.